This sermon is the first in a four-part series on stewardship. The theme for week one of the series is Remember, and the scriptures it reflects on are Luke 22, 1-23 and Exodus 16, 1-18. As we embark on our four-week series considering stewardship, the theme for this first week is Remember. That might seem like an odd place to start, but consider this. Each of us comes to this moment with backstories. Stories of our relationship with God and stories of our relationship with money. And sometimes those stories and their emotions get tangled up in messy and complicated ways. But taking the time to remember and maybe even untangle them a little bit can help us to perhaps bring those stories before God and find ourselves in a slightly healthier place. That might sound a bit abstract, so let me give you an example. Part of the story of my relationship with money is that when I went to high school, I won a scholarship to what was a very good school and, to be frank, for my parents at least, a very expensive school. Even with a scholarship for half the cost, there were times when my going to that school created real financial strain in our household. And that might have been okay, except that the way my parents dealt with that strain was to frame it this way. Any time I got less than perfect results, which being me was most of the time, I was accused of stealing from the family. We work so hard to send you to that school, and if you don't then achieve the best possible results, you are stealing from us, was the way it was framed. It probably doesn't take a heap of imagination for you to realise that what that did was pile up a fair bit of anxiety for me. And the point about that is that that anxiety didn't sort of magically go away when I finished school or when I moved out of home. To some extent, I carry echoes of that anxiety even today, that if I'm not performing perfectly, I'm cheating people or that kind of thing. Throw God into the mix and it can complicate both my relationship with God and my relationships with other people. But I'm sharing this with you to illustrate the point. Our backstories are going to colour how we experience a conversation about something like stewardship. And so this first week of the series is a chance for us to acknowledge those backstories, to reflect on them a bit, and perhaps to see whether we can look at them in a larger perspective. Because our readings for today offer us a chance to remember that we don't just have individual backstories around these questions. We belong to a church, a community of faith, which also has backstories. We're invited to remember that Judas, though he was given money to betray Jesus, was still at the Last Supper, still had his feet washed, still received that first Eucharist from Jesus' own hands. Jesus knew what Judas had done, knew what was coming, and still shared with Judas in this incredibly intimate way these very tangible moments of God's grace. Perhaps for those of us whose money stories have the shadows of shame or guilt or anxiety in them, we can remember that those shadows don't define us before God and are not an obstacle to God's love. And we're invited to remember that the Eucharist quickly became, for the church, the meal where social relations defined by economic status were undermined, where rich and poor gathered together as equals. As we gather around Christ's table, the divisions and barriers of wealth disparity are reformed into one body where all are cared for and all find their needs met. It's an ideal we live up to imperfectly, but Jesus models it for us in his treatment of Judas and invites us to do the same and to find ourselves welcome. And we're invited to remember the stories that both the Jewish community and the church have treasured for millennia of food being provided for the hungry. The story of the manna in the desert might be the most dramatic because it wasn't just one meal, but a whole population being sustained for years of wandering. For those of us whose daily reality is one of scarcity, who have to make hard or careful choices about how we'll use our resources, or who pine for the things that are out of our reach, being reminded of the times and ways when God made sure that the people's needs were met might invite us to trust and to look for the ways in which God provides for people today. And I don't mean that in a glib way, because I know that for many people the matters of surviving financially are anything but glib. But for the Israelite mothers facing the desert, wondering how their children would survive, the manna in the wilderness wasn't glib either. It was survival in the face of the threat of death to a whole vulnerable community. So we remember. We remember our own stories, and we remember the stories of the people of God. We remember that talk of money and stewardship touches on complex and difficult matters of survival, of anxiety, of shame, of doubt, as well as of desire and longing, of trust and of grace. There is, in fact, risk in talking about stewardship, risk of reopening old wounds, risk of speaking in a way which is oblivious to and disrespectful of the realities of your lives right now, and risk of implying that God's love or God's grace are somehow contingent on whether we have given enough, done enough, been enough. But I think the invitation for us as a parish community is to match that risk with support, to do all we can to make sure that each person is safe and each person knows that their place with us is secure. As we talk about money and time and talents and giving, none of you has anything to prove. Not to me and not to each other. While it's true that it takes money, and far more important than money, people being willing to do the things which sustain the life of a community, for a church to exist, we will be most effective when whatever we each offer is brought freely and willingly, not because someone's twisting your arm. And I think the invitation to us is to see that whatever is going on for each of us right now, and for us as a parish community, God is enough. That's what we see with the manna in the desert. That's what we see in the sharing around the communion table, which is meant to be the pattern for shared life. Whatever we offer, we do so knowing that God's got this, and that God will use what we bring to further God's purposes, and it will be enough. Our liturgy is designed to help us do this kind of remembering every week, really, as we go through a process of gathering, reflecting, praying and sharing, and then being sent out, which reminds us who God is and who we are in God. But this week we're being explicit and intentional about that remembering, knowing that memory can be a very precious resource to our faith.